sexy, huh?
We're back here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. We're in different spots. D-Mace is up in Boston. I'm in the studio. Caroline will be subbing for Jared later today. Don't forget we have Ask D-Mace at a special time. That's coming up in the next segment. So get your questions in there. If you want to text them in now, go ahead. 615-737-1025. A couple of noteworthy hockey headlines just to pass along. We'll get into detail a little bit later in the show on these, but the Jets have made a trade for center Sean Monahan to try to beef up what they're doing, and the Kings, who just came in and beat the Predators in a real tight game the other day, fired their coach, Todd McClellan, who had really helped them rise up, but they have really struggled lately. Even though they won the last game, they still make the change there. So interesting move by the Kings. Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck. And welcome him to the show. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Tim, I thought of you when I saw the Bill Callahan story. And we'll get your take on the new Titans offensive coordinator as well, see what you know about him. But I just thought about this. You're just now going into coaching. Your dad played in the NFL for a long time, Don Hasselbeck. Mm-hmm. What would that be like for you? Everybody's relationship with their dad is different, but can you imagine being a head coach and having your dad as an assistant?
Well, listen, I have I've already started recruiting Big Don. He does have a Super Bowl ring.
Yes, he does.
To his credit. So, look, I think, and Willie, I think you know this, and I know D. Mace knows this, like, it is really cool to be able to be, I don't know, to do anything with guys that you like. Right. And so it doesn't matter what it is. And then obviously if there's a deeper relationship because it was it's a sibling or, you know, a parent or anything like that, then even more so the case. And I know that as a dad, like there's probably nothing more that you want to do than to see your son succeed. And so for Bill Callahan to say, look, I'm an expert at being an offensive line coach. My son has kind of reached the pinnacle of being able to coach in the National Football League as a head coach. He actually has some of that experience himself. Like, to be able to go and be a resource, like just a trusted assistant, like, yeah, how cool is that for just the Callahan family to be able to have that experience?
That is really cool, for sure. But, you know, what's interesting to me for this particular challenge, you've got a young head coach in Brian Callahan, his first go at it. And anybody that has been watching the team here in this market, if you start going down, what are the things that they've really got to get right? Number one or is going to be on the list, the offensive line, right? Obviously, the quarterback, Will Levis, but surrounding him with a good offensive line is going to be a major challenge. So D-Mace and I were just kicking this around. They've got some guys in-house that you'd love to get more out of. You can't just go buy an entire new offensive line. So I think that he's going to be under the microscope a little bit more than your normal offensive line coach, especially with this storyline.
And I think that's why, like, you can do something like this when there's no question that he's a good offensive line coach. It's a little bit like, you know, when Tom Coughlin drafted Chris Snee. It was like, oh, well, like, how's that going to go? He was his son-in-law. But then when he turned out to be the toughest guy on the team, it was like, yeah, like, that's why he's here, right? And so, look, there's no doubt that Bill Callahan can coach the offensive line. He's more than qualified. He's, I think, in many cases, like, regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches the NFL's ever had. And so because of that, look, I think the scrutiny and the attention and anything like I'm sure that they're fine with that. And I would just say this in terms of somebody that, you know, that I'm close with that I know that Bill has coached is Damian Woody. Damian Woody's a teammate of mine in college, played a long time in the NFL, been coached by guys like Dante Scarnecchia in New England, you know, somebody who's maybe seen as the best offensive line coach of all time. And Damian Woody swears by Bill Callahan. And you know, so I think that that's the type, that's the caliber of coach that they are adding as the offensive line coach. He just happens to be related to the head coach.
What did the Titans have to do to gain the permission for him to talk? Because the Browns have to be sitting there going, look, we had a pretty good year. We like our staff. Yeah. He was under contract, right? So I wonder what happened behind the scenes. Is there going to be any sort of compensation? How did that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe there will be. This would be my guess on something like that because of who's involved. I think if it were younger coaches kind of making their way and, you know, they too just happen to be buddies, maybe you could see some type of compensation. Maybe you could see a team not letting a guy out of his contract. I think the uniqueness of this situation and then the respect around the league for Bill Callahan, I think probably trumps whatever normal protocol maybe would take place. I used to say to people, like, I remember Michael Strahan, sat out of training camp one year, and he was in, like, his 15th year as a defensive end. And I remember everyone asking, like, hey, are guys mad at Strahan for not being at training camp? And it was like, there's almost like this unwritten rule. Like, you get a decade in the National Football League as a guy that puts his hand on the ground. Like, all right, that gives you, like, a little bit of, like, you play by different rules than maybe everybody else. Then you get to 15 years and you're still a Pro Bowl player as a guy that puts his hand on the ground. Like, listen, you just come when you want to come, man. Like, you do what you need to do. I think there becomes like a respect level for certain guys. And I think in the coaching world, like Bill Callahan has reached the rungs of getting the type of respect that someone with his background deserves.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers there in Nashville.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. Tim, if you look at the coaching staff outside of his dad, Bill Callahan, it seems like they are putting together a very young staff, a young, energetic, more innovative staff. You look at Nick Holtz, who's going to be their offensive coordinator. He was the basketball game coordinator with Jacksonville last year. Was this more of him getting a guy that he's familiar with for the week and not necessarily for the game? Because we know who's going to be calling players during the game, right? But during the week, because he has so much to delegate, you need someone that you can trust and that you're familiar with.
Yeah, I think the key word you just use is trust, right? So a lot of this is, and people can be critical of it at times, but it's about the relationship. I just remember talking to a defensive coach last year who was hired by Carolina. And I said, how much did you know Frank, beforehand? And he said, I'd actually never met him, but, my relationship was on the defensive side of the ball and we were at that and he knew me well. And I was like, got it. Like, and so I think that in certain positions, it's going to be about the relationship and the trust, right? As the head coach, there's going to be a lot on your plate. That is not going to be game plan and X's and O's during the week that you have to do. And so you want to be able to trust your offensive line coach, your offensive coordinator, so like I, as we sit here and think about it, you go, okay, all right, you got the run game, you got the pass game, and I'm going to call it on Sundays. Like, that's what this feels like. And look, I think that's a pretty good structure if it's people that you can implicitly trust. And I think that most people would want to be able to attack it that way. And it seems like that's what he's doing.
Now, Tim, they've solidified several spots, whether it be Bill Callahan, offensive line, Tyke Tolbert as the receivers coach. Obviously, we talked about Nick Holtz. What do you think is the next most important hire for the Tennessee Titans in regards to their coaching staff? Is it the DC?
Yeah, I think so, because of the background of the head coach. We see nowadays, and, whether people like really realize it or not, but like, because of the volume of work, because you're trying to be efficient, because of all the other responsibilities, a lot of times you're handing a certain side of the ball completely over. And it would kind of be my guess that that's how this will go. And like, I'll give you an example. Like, look at Green Bay. Like, it's my sense. Like, Matt LaFleur is probably now handing that defense over to Jeff Hafley. Like, that's probably the structure of, you know, how that will work. Look at what Mike McDaniel did when he got to Miami. Like, he was like, no, I'm going to hand this over. Look, you know, really what Kevin O'Connell did when he became the coach in Minnesota, and really how it was structured last year. I mean, he handed it over to Brian Flores. I think that, especially as a, you know, relatively young coach, I think it's just the best thing. And even the guys that have been coaching a long time, Andy Reid has handed it over to Steve Spagnuolo, and I think rightfully so. So, yeah, I do think, D. Mace, that is the next most important hire.
Okay, now let's go outside of the Titans for a quick second here. All of the vacancies have been filled in regards to your head coaches in the NFL. Which team do you think got it right, and which team do you think may have to wait and see?
Wait, so which team in this hiring cycle do I think got it right?
Yes, the seven hires that have been made.
I will say, I love that. Am I saying this because here we are in Nashville? Like, and this is what I said to you guys when Vrabel was fired. Like, I think you had to hire somebody different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in regards to that, I love that. Like, I think that, you know, and you guys probably heard me, you know, like, I don't know that I was like, hey, you know, I didn't really think the Titans needed to make the move. They make the move, but if you're going to do that, you have to do something different. So I like that a lot. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think some of these other hires were good as well. Like, I like Atlanta's situation. I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of, you know, just the change and, you know, probably his chance to get another job. You know, the one that I'm curious about is New England, because there'll be a new offensive coordinator there, but it feels like there's a lot of carryover. And so I'm just wondering a little bit, like, did the Patriots just fire Bill Belichick, hire Gerard Mayo, give the Crafts more power, and keep almost everybody else in place outside of the offensive coordinator? Like, that is kind of what it is feeling like to me right now in New England.
Hmm. Are you more surprised, Tim, that Belichick didn't get another job somewhere or Vrabel didn't get another job somewhere?
I mean, Belichick, just because, like, everyone wants to win. When windows are getting small in terms of, you know, for some of these owners that are getting older. I mean, he's so accomplished. Like, you know, Schefter had reports out that, like, look, he didn't, you know, wasn't coming in saying, I have to have all personnel control. So, you know, I don't know that the asks were so crazy that, I mean, Schefter's reporting was basically that, like, he wanted to coach. And if that's the case, that's surprising to me. Like, that's real. Even places that weren't open, that maybe they say, no, we're going to make him open for this guy with what he's accomplished.
All right, Tim, before we let you go, we got to get your take. And you knew this, right? We all summer long, hey, look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. They can't all make it to the Super Bowl, right? But there's a lot of really good ones that are looking to break through. So now you have two of the latest victims of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Josh Allen and then Lamar Jackson. And there's going to be that label that you get when you get to the playoffs a bunch. You have a lot of regular season success, but you fall short, especially if you don't have your best game, right? Which is what happened with Lamar Jackson. That's got to be tough when it's only going to be doubled. It seems like it's more extreme now. I think of a Dan Fouts back in the day, right? But you didn't have internet. You didn't have the social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, Dan Fouts can't win the big one. But Dan Fouts is a Hall of Famer, right? But he never could get over the hump in those big playoff games. And a lot of it was maybe his defense wasn't as good. But what do you think of where Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson go from here?
Yeah, I think what happens, everything you just explained is exactly correct, even if it's not their fault why they're going to win one, right? And sometimes maybe it was, like, they didn't play their best game. and the other guy on the other side, you know, did play well. Like last week, I thought, you know, the stars for Kansas City played better than the stars for Baltimore. But I think what happens is this. The volume and intensity and pressure gets ratcheted way, way up each time because it becomes a narrative each and every week. Look what's happened with Dak Prescott, right?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's that exact thing. And so now it's hard to accomplish it, period. But now try to accomplish it when literally in August the story is, yeah, they might win 14 games this year, but what's going to happen in the championship game? Can he win it all? Can he, like, that, like, Donovan McNabb, I think, like, faced that. And it's hard. I think that's the, it just makes it more difficult, I guess, is the short answer, because it's the pressure, right? Like, if you're a good foul shooter and you can make 97 out of 100 foul shots, it's like everyone knows you're a good foul shooter. But then if I bring you out and I say, all right, we give you one chance to make a foul shot. And if you make it, you're good. If you miss it, you're not. Like, you might miss it. Like, even though you might make the next 99, yeah. Like, you might miss it. And especially if it's like, you know, that's your only chance to prove that you're good at doing it. And so, like, I think that's where it puts those guys. And I think we'll learn a lot about them because of it.
Good analogy. I'm having flashbacks of missing big free throws in big high school games.
Come on, Willie, you can't be doing that.
Didn't happen all the time.
Willie, I got you as a good foul shooter.
Oh, I was a great foul shooter, and I shot a lot of free throws. I didn't make all the big ones. My problem in college was nobody would foul me. I could have made the free throws, but I never got to the free throw line.
Yeah, the scouting report on you was playing tight. He's not blowing by you. That was the scouting report.
Sad but true. Sad but true in the SEC, no question. Tim, great to have you with us once again. Best wishes going forward here in your building of your program over at Ensworth, and we'll talk Super Bowl next week.
I appreciate it. Hey, enjoy Boston, D-Mace. Let's go. Let's go. Have some salad.
Hey, man, I am leaving out today, but I have enjoyed it for the last 2 days.
See you guys.
All right, see you, Tim. All right, when we come back, we'll have a short version of Ask D-Mace, but let's hit him with some questions. Maybe something in our interview with Tim sparked your interest. 615-737-1025. You can call in or you can text in for Ask D-Mace coming up next.